Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So that's the focus today, is the compassion of Jesus and the mystery of healing. Now, I'm sure everybody in this room has at some point been moved with compassion, right? There's a difference between just, you know, seeing somebody out there and having an ounce of compassion. I'm talking about that feeling of deep, like, I'm moved by, you know, this. Happened to me last week. In fact, it's funny, I had a whole different message that I had written up that I wanted to do. But last week, I was really moved. From my youth, there was a guitar player. His name is Jason Becker. The only guy in this room that probably knows who Jason Becker is Johnny. He was an extraordinary neoclassical guitar player. Teenager, ridiculously talented. By the time he was 16 years old, he's making these records that were insane, virtuoso, regular, like just insane. He was a prodigy. He became 20 years old. He landed the dream gig. He got the gig of being David Lee Roth's guitar player. Now, I don't know who knows who David Lee Roth is in here, but David Lee Roth was the lead singer of Van Halen, and at this point, he had embarked on a solo career. And his guitar player, who was also a virtuoso, Steve Vai, had quit. So he needed a new guitar player. What huge shoes to fill for a 20-year-old. This is a man who played with Eddie Van Halen and Steve Vai. Now, say all that to say, this 20-year-old, happy-go-lucky, super-talented kid gets this gig. During the recording sessions of this record, though, he started having problems with his left leg. Sharp pains and nagging weakness. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have ALS. Lou Gehrig's disease. He gave him 3 years to live. 20 years old. He did manage to finish the record, but the progressive paralysis took everything from him. He couldn't play guitar, couldn't speak, couldn't stand. His eyes work. He can move his mouth a little bit. But here's the crazy thing. He's still alive. 35 years later, he's still alive. 35 years. Now, his father, because his eyes still work, his father created this cool computer thing for him to communicate with. So he moves his eyes in different sectors, and it writes the words he's thinking. He's used that to compose music. He still composes music, and other people play it, so he's made records still. Anyway, he's actually literally the same age as me, born the same year as me. And he's lived 35 years with ALS. So I'm on Facebook, doing the doom scroll thing, looking at what all my friends are up to, and then there's this picture of Jason Becker, his birthday party, that's standing behind him, his parents, all of his guitars, and you can see if the picture is up there, yeah. He's up there, he's got his, you know, ventilator, and he's sitting there in his chair. And my heart broke. For not just for what was for him, 20-year-old dream of a lifetime gig and all that. And just, I sat there in my chair, and I just got teary. I was moved. And I just started praying out loud, Jesus, could you just please heal him? Would you just please heal him? And I started really thinking, if me as a broken, sinful man can be moved with such compassion for somebody who I have never even met, right? How much compassion does Jesus have for us, right? One of the greatest questions that believers wrestle with is that question. If Jesus loves us so deeply, then why aren't we all healed? I mean, we've all, as Christians, experienced this. I mean, we've prayed passionately. We've believed sincerely. We've quoted scripture. We've called the elders. We've been anointed with oil. Sometimes healing comes. Sometimes it doesn't. Now, does this mean that Jesus cared more about one person than the other? Of course not. So today I want to I want us to, I've got like 8 or 9 points or something like that. But I want these three things to be the themes as we go through this. Number one, Jesus' compassion has never changed, ever. And number two, healing is always consistent with his heart. And number three, our unanswered prayers do not mean we are unloved. So let's get to the first point. Jesus was moved by compassion. I know I've been up here before and had this as part of my discussion points, but it is amazing when you look through the Gospels and you'll see all these little quotes. You know, we just talked about Matthew 14:14, where it says he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and he touched their eyes. Mark 1:41, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. We get to Luke chapter 7, and we have this story of the widow in the funeral. She was a widow. Her only son had died. And there was the funeral procession, and they were going to bury. Nobody asked Jesus to heal or help. Nobody demonstrated any profound faith. Nobody even prayed. They were just doing their funeral. Jesus saw it, and it says that his heart, well, it says when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. See, then of course he went and raised the child from the dead. Compassion came first. Compassion was the first step. And then came the miracle. Now, what's remarkable to me is Jesus never healed anybody because he wanted to impress anyone. He healed because he loved people. Healing was merely just a display of his power. It was an expression of his love. Point number two. Compassion is part of God's character. Throughout Scripture, God reveals himself as compassionate. Now, listen to this. So, there's a couple of scriptures I cherry-picked out of the Old Testament. Psalm 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Exodus 34:5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord of compassion and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. See, I bring those up because God's love and his compassion didn't begin with Jesus in Bethlehem. What Jesus did in Bethlehem and all going forward was to show us who the Father is. Show us who the Father has always been. Show us his character. You remember, maybe you remember the story towards the end of Jesus' life there, where Philip says, hey, show us the Father and everything will be cool. And Jesus is like, Philip, how long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus came here to demonstrate who his Father is, to show us the character of his Father. So every time there is a healing miracle, it answers this question, what is God like? He is compassion. Point number three, Jesus never refused someone who came for healing. This is pretty profound. This is pretty profound. If you search the Gospels, all these people came to Jesus, right? They came blind, they came deaf, they were paralyzed, they were leprous, they were demonized, bleeding, broken. And Jesus never said, oh, hey, I'm going to leave you sick because I'm trying to teach you something. Cool? Or, it's not my will, sorry, I'm not going to do it. No, every person who came to Jesus in faith found compassion. Everyone. Now, sometimes it was instant. Sometimes it was progressive. Sometimes it was private. Sometimes it was public. But they never received rejection. That tells me something about the heart of Jesus and the heart of the Father. Point number four. Why then isn't everyone healed? This is the difficult question, right? The question all of us believers we'll wrestle with at some point or many times in our lives, as I sat and looked at the picture of Jason Becker. You know, There's several reasons. The Bible gives us a lot of reasons. I'll cover some of them. Number one, we live in a fallen world. Romans chapter 8 actually says that creation is groaning. Let's look at that, actually. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read this, verses 18 through 25. So Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of what? Corruption, into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. And not only that, but we ourselves have the Spirit as the first fruits. We also groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for adoption, the redemption of what? Our bodies." So, disease exists because sin entered this world. And that's not necessarily personal sin, but it is creation being broken by the original sin. Jesus came to begin the restoration of creation. But that restoration is not fully complete, very obviously, right? We see that. Now, the kingdom has come. The kingdom of God is within you. But it's not fully. It's not fully here yet. It's one of the great themes of the New Testament that Jesus came here to inaugurate the kingdom of God. You saw when he was in his ministry, the demons flee, the dead rose, the blind see. But even so, Christians still die. Believers still suffer. And we saw in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, "We ourselves have the Spirit as the first fruits, but we also groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." We still wait for that redemption of our physical bodies. Now, every miracle today, because, hey, miracles still happen. You guys know that, right? Miracles still happen. But every miracle that does happen is just a preview. It's not the finished movie. Every healing whispers that the kingdom is coming, the full kingdom. Another point is that God's purpose sometimes extends beyond immediate healing. So we'll go back to Paul again, and in 2 Corinthians he says, "Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.' Therefore," and this I love, this is so like Paul, "therefore I will gladly boast all the more in my weakness so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in my weakness, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So in this case, we have Paul begging three times. Now, we don't know what that was. Was it physical ailment? Was it person? Who knows? Regardless, Paul begged for healing or relief, and God answered, but not with healing. Instead, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." But here's something to notice. God did answer. He did answer. He just answered differently. And Paul's suffering became the platform for an amazing bit of understanding for all of us throughout history, to display the strength of Christ in our weakness. It doesn't mean that sickness is good. It means that God is able to redeem sickness. It means that God is perfected in our weakness. That's a whole different sermon altogether. And another point is that we don't always know why. This is the hardest answer. This one is tough. If you've prayed intensely for somebody, and they passed away anyway, you know that sometimes it's the hardest answer that you don't know why. Sometimes Scripture just doesn't explain it. And I'm thinking about like Job. Job was never aware of the deal, Satan going to God saying, oh, well, if you let me take all the stuff away from him, he'll curse you. And God's like, okay, but don't kill him. And we know that Job didn't curse him. In fact, Job said that famous line, even if he slays me, I will still trust him. Mary and Martha didn't understand Lazarus dying. Jesus, what took you so long? You could have healed him. John the Baptist died in prison. Why? Well, the Bible doesn't always say. Now, sometimes faith means that we have to trust the character of God, even when we can't explain his actions. And that's why with this and with my studying of all this and seeing the picture of Jason Becker, the focus to me is, yes, I want the relief of the healing. But it's like God is saying, but focus on who I am and my character. Compassion. Faith means trusting in that, the compassion of God. Fifth point overall is healing is still part of God's heart. Now, some people will say, well, we don't see miracles around here anymore. If, you know, everybody isn't healed, then God must no longer want to heal anybody. Well, when you read the Gospels, that doesn't work with the Gospels. There's loads of healing there. And what's important about that? Well, it's important because Jesus doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James, later on, tells the church, hey, call the elders, pray, anoint with oil. Why would he tell you that? Well, because the healing ministry continues, even after Jesus ascended. God still heals. And it isn't because we deserve it. And it isn't because we can control him with the right faith statement equation or, you know, behaving ourselves really good one day. No, it's because he's compassionate. And leapfrogging on that, point number six, faith is actually trust. It is not a formula. So sometimes if I feel crushed, you know, when my father passed away, unexpectedly, as we remember that, if you remember that sermon, I felt crushed. I didn't have answers. Why, God, he was a pastor for a year. Why would you take him now? Maybe if I had more faith, God, or maybe if I prayed better and more earnestly, or maybe if I confessed sin differently, I don't know. But I don't believe Jesus intended our faith to become another burden. And I like this little quote. I can't find who it's attributed to, but I wanted to read it to you guys. It says, faith is confidence in Christ, not confidence in our confidence. That's a pretty timely and you know, I can't will the hand of God myself. Faith is confidence in Christ. And what is that? It's faith and the confidence of the compassion of Christ. I don't know what the end result is going to be out of a situation, but I do know that his love is there for me and his compassion is strong for me. That's what I should be trusting in. Remember the father in the New Testament who brought his son to Jesus who was demon-possessed? He says, hey, this kid, like, keeps the demons take over him and they try to throw himself in the fire and all this. And he says to Jesus, would you heal him if you can? He adds that if you can at the end, right? What does Jesus say? How long will I be with you unbelievers that don't believe? And the father, he says the famous line. He's just desperate. He says, I believe, but please help my unbelief. My gosh, everyone in this room probably can say that, right? Or is it just me? It's probably just me. So what happened? Well, Jesus healed him anyway. See, faith opens our hands, but it doesn't force God's hand. Point number seven, the greatest healing Jesus offers is not physical. Do you know every physical healing that he did in the Gospels? Do you know what all those people had in common? They had faith. Okay. Yep. Also, eventually every one of those people died. Lazarus died twice. How about that? Every blind eye that was healed eventually closed. Every healed body aged and died. See, physical healing is wonderful, but it's temporary. The greatest miracle that Jesus performs is the heart. It's forgiveness. It's a new birth. It's reconciliation with God. And that healing lasts forever. Point number 8. One day, everyone who belongs to Christ will be healed. This is our hope. Revelation 21 promises there's going to be what? No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And this isn't just for some believers. This is for all believers, and it's a perfect healing, and it's forever. Every wheelchair abandoned, every cancer gone, every scar redeemed, every tear wiped away. So the question is, what should we do while we're waiting? Well, firstly, we pray boldly. We continue to pray boldly. Jesus told us to ask, and James told us to pray. Never stop asking. Never stop. Trust deeply. If healing comes, praise him. If healing delays, praise him and trust him. If healing comes in eternity, praise him and hope in him. Another thing we can do is we can love those who suffer. So if you know somebody who's in a health situation or whatever, then visit them, pray for them, encourage them, and serve them. We say it a lot around here, but be the hands and feet of Christ. So let me finish with this. Never confuse delayed healing with diminished love. We ought to know that the cross settled that forever, right? The cross settled how much Jesus loves us. In Romans 8, we've talked about a little bit, but it also says that there's nothing, not a piece of sickness, not suffering, not death, any of these things can separate us from that love, that compassion of God. That same compassion that moved Jesus to touch lepers, the compassion that stopped a funeral procession for the love, because he just loved, his heart went out, and he healed the son of the widow. The compassion, Jesus wept at Lazarus's tomb. That is all the same compassion that he has for you, that he has for me right now, today, at this very moment. And sometimes his compassion is going to heal immediately. Sometimes his compassion gives us strength to endure. And sometimes his compassion carries us home. But his compassion never fails. So I hope you guys have a good rest of your day, and let's focus on the character of God, compassion of God, all right? Cool. Oh, yeah, everybody.
Why don't you pray for us?
Go ahead, everybody stand up, if you will. Man, we think about some of the folks we're praying for right now, Suzette and others that are dealing with physical issues, you know, Johnny and his back, and you know, we need the healing power of God, and we know it's temporary, but we want to see mm-hmm. it. Yeah. You know, and so anyway, Rick, why don't you just pray us out of here?
All right. Father, we're just so grateful for your love and your compassion, and that you make our path straight, that you're with us, that you sent us the Holy Spirit, the first fruits. We still pray just as James told us to there. We pray for that healing. We ask for you to restore our bodies. And those that are sick, we mentioned Suzette and we mentioned Johnny. Those folks, we lift them up. We plead your blood over them. We know that you said by your stripes we're healed. We also just pray that we embrace your compassion and your love and let that just flood our souls and fill us with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about The Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.